Right, and there's a Judge Robert Jones opinion that I'll talk about here in a second called Inri Adamczyk, and he lays it out. It's kind of like the shifting burden in the claim objection, but the trustee or the creditor, whoever it is, probably the trustee, has to show by preponderance of the evidence that the debtor acted in bad faith in the conversion. And once the trustee does that, then the debtor has the burden of proving that they actually acted in good faith or not in bad faith. So some examples of bad faith cases. And these three cases are really good. They're very factually intensive. This is my daughter's dog, which I caught in mid-snarl over that ball, like an inheritance. If I were a debtor, I'd be in mid-snarl when the trustee tried to take it. So I'm going to go from the bottom, the Moser versus Mulliken case, which is cited by a lot of courts in this jurisdiction. The debtors filed 13. They confirmed their plan. They were only paying their general and secured creditors 1% under their plan. They had some ups and downs. With income, they had two children. One was sick, so there's some shades of inability to pay coming up. But Mr. Debtor was the beneficiary of his mother's will. She was the sole heir, and when they filed, she was living. So he said he didn't know he was in the will, so he didn't disclose the possibility. But in any case, she was living and fine. But she died then after the plan was confirmed, and she left the debtors a home, two vehicles, $14,000 in cash and bank accounts, and $162,000 in an IRA. The debtors didn't think it was property of the estate because they acquired it during the 13, and so they didn't say anything, and they just began selling the house, spending the money. Then the husband lost his job, and then they converted. But on the same day, he got his job back. So, and then upon conversion, they didn't disclose all these things that had happened in the interim period. And the court goes in detail about it. As we described before, Judge Rose talked about the fact that that the debtors didn't have an inability to pay, even though they did have a sick child. The wife couldn't work because of the sick child, and the husband had lost the job. He got the job back, and then they also got the money. So it wasn't really a situation where they could not pay that 1% to their creditors. They could have. They just didn't want to. And we don't blame them, but, you have to sometimes. And also, they didn't disclose anything. And so Chris Moser had to kind of drag it all out of them. And because of that ability to pay and the lack of forthrightness, the court decided that they had acted in bad faith. So all of that stuff that was remaining had to be turned over to the trustee. And the bad thing about that is, some of that stuff wouldn't have been property of the estate. But because they didn't disclose it, it became property of the estate. Then in the Lenz versus Myers case, this is a Judge Ellington opinion from Mississippi where the debtors the facts in this case are very, very complicated, but the long and short of it is the right to file a lawsuit or a cause of action accrued, and the debtors didn't disclose it, and Judge Ellington followed Judge Rhodes, the factors in Moser versus Mulliken, plus he added some other things, whether there's fraud, dishonesty, deception, a lack of financial disclosure, or an unfair manipulation to the detriment of creditors. And the debtors in that case were found to have bad faith. And then in the Judge Jones case I mentioned earlier, Adamczyk, the debtors had a homestead in Argyle. During the 13, they bought a house in Lubbock, but they didn't tell anybody. It was for their parents, and the parents paid the bill. But anyway, they didn't tell anybody. Then they moved out of the homestead and leased it, but didn't say that they were getting any lease payments. I guess this was a single debtor. Then the loan debtor, he lost his job, so he converted to 7. Shortly thereafter, gets a $52,000 severance payment. doesn't disclose any of that on his Rule 1019 notice, didn't disclose that the home in Lubbock, didn't disclose the lease, didn't disclose the severance, didn't disclose the another lot he purchased. There was just a slew of non-disclosures that the judge found that he should have made under Local Rule 1019-1. And that failure to disclose, the failure of the debtor to be honest about what he had, resulted in all of those assets that were remaining being property of the Chapter 7 estate. So those are examples of some bad faith. And Baruz is going to talk about some examples of not bad faith. And this is my dog, who's clearly not acting in bad faith ever.
I want to talk about the Castillo case. Debtor and her husband filed bankruptcy, and the wife's father died. And as a result, debtor received an inheritance, but the father died intestate. So it was a fractional interest, pretty small. And things got a little bit worse for the debtor. Then her brother died, so she got a portion of his fractional interest in father's real estate. Then debtor started having health issues. Her husband started experiencing loss of income. And they went ahead and converted the case from Chapter 13 to Chapter 7 without disclosing any of this inheritance issues. And the case goes through 341 meeting, no problem, and